From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. A roundtable discussion next hour. Intelligent design of the universe. Fact or fiction with Richard C. Hoagland, Stan Tenen, and Michael Heiser. Here's some news of the day, and just on the heels of this intelligent design program, at the risk of reigniting the same heated nationwide debate it sparked 6 years ago, the Kansas Board of Education approved new public science standards Tuesday that cast doubt on the theory of evolution. The 6-4 vote was a victory for intelligent design advocates who helped draft the standards. Now, intelligent design holds that the universe is so complex that it must have been created by a higher power. Critics of the language charged that it was an attempt to inject God and creationism into public schools in violation of the separation of church and state. Back to France for a moment. France declared a state of emergency to quell the country's worst unrest since the student uprisings of 1968 that toppled the government. And the prime minister said the nation faced a moment of truth over its failure to integrate Arab and African immigrants and their children. The extraordinary security measures, which began Wednesday, are valid for 12 days, clearing the way for curfews after nearly 2 weeks of rioting in neglected and impoverished neighborhoods with largely Muslim communities. The prime minister, acknowledging that France has failed to live up to its ideals, reached out to the heavily immigrant suburbs where the rioting began. He said France must make a priority of working against the discrimination that feeds the frustration of youths made to feel that they do not belong in France. So it sounds like France is kind of backstepping a little bit in an effort to try to quell the rioting. It has slowed down somewhat today. 1 month after South Asia's October 8th earthquake, the estimated regional death toll shot up sharply now. 87,350 on Tuesday following a new count of Pakistan's casualties. The United Nations again appealed for more money to help victims, urging donors to be as generous as they have on other recent disasters. The world body said it urgently needs $42 million to maintain the aid effort through November. People will freeze to death if they don't get assistance in weeks, they say. The toll in Pakistan jumped to 86,000, 13,000 higher than the official count under a broad assessment by the World Bank and Asian Development Bank, working with local governments and aid agencies. Well, as you know, we continue to follow the predictions of Dr. Lewis Turry here on Coast to Coast, and he made three of them for the month of November, his most recent November 8th, where he said on this program several weeks ago, a big explosion, possibly an earthquake. Well, we've got Dr. Turry back with us. Now, we did have an earthquake in Pakistan just a few days ago, magnitude 6. That was pretty big. Dr. Turry, this situation in France, your home country, one, I guess, with 300 towns burning, could you say this was the big explosion?
Well, on my website, I clearly mentioned surprise explosions, and yes, as you mentioned it, this is the energy that I was expecting, including, of course, the tornado that killed 22 people. I was raised with a lot of Arabs in the south of France. I have really a lot of good friends from at home that are Arabs, and as a child, they never really fitted into our society. What happened is after the war, when De Gaulle decides to move the people back home, all the Arabs that work with them, the Arabs that we have educated to get the oil out of the ground, mm-hmm. all the educated ones came back in France with us. They couldn't stay in their countries. And, of course, they had children. And those children could never be fitted into the French society. So France was caught in a situation where it could not say to these people to stay there and be killed. And thus the situation is definitely going to get worse, especially during the two other windows that I give for November.
November 19th, you said lots of people will be forced to relocate or restart a new life.
The worst will be on November the 29th.
Yes, that, you say, is an ugly energy involving death for many.
And that's not going to be an easy situation again. You know, I always give those three worst energy for each month, and sudden enough, those predictions came true again.
Well, and you were right about that tornado as a possibility as well, Dr. Turi, because being from the Midwest, when a tornado goes through, it is like an explosion when it hits and takes out homes, trees, and everything else in its way.
Well, and again, on your show, I did not mention it, but the very next day, I posted in my website to be ready for surprising, shocking news. Including this student in Tennessee that right in the negative window who killed somebody.
Assistant principal, yes.
That's correct, yeah. Of course. And also mentioned that there would be also plane crashes. You know, all this energy is right there. We are into this window, and I'm asking, you know, people to be very careful each time I point out a window, because somewhere, somehow, it will touch people at large, but it can also touch you personally.
Yes, you talk about this supernova window, which is bringing some negative energy throughout the planet, right?
That's correct. Yes, the supernova window affects communication, transportation. Again, back home in France, they're trying to communicate with the riders. It'll be practically impossible. Once this supernova window is over, I believe the situation will be getting a little bit more in control. But that's not the worst. The worst is to come.
Okay, doctor. We'll be checking in with you for these two other potential windows. Then, obviously, we'll talk with you about what you might see ahead for us in December, okay?
Absolutely. You have a good night.
You too. Dr. Louis Turi, drturi.com is his website, if you want to take a look at that. We monitor that quite often, and he's on the program now quite regularly. I have not seen him miss one yet on one of his predictions. In Baghdad, three gunmen in speeding cars killed a lawyer for a co-defendant in Saddam Hussein's trial, wounded another attorney in Baghdad. Now, this is happening again and again. Now, this lawyer, who was representing the former Iraqi vice president, was shot to death, and another attorney wounded in an ambush in a neighborhood. This was the second defense attorney to be killed in less than a month. Saddam's main lawyer blames the government for the attack, telling Al Jazeera Television that the shooting was carried by an armed group using government vehicles. The story that Dr. Turi just mentioned, a very sad story in Tennessee, a high school student opened fire on a principal and two assistant principals in Jacksboro, killing one of the men before a teacher wrestled his weapon away. The 15-year-old suspect was taken into custody. No students injured, according to the sheriff's department there. 1,400 students are enrolled in a school out there that this happened at, the Campbell County Comprehensive High School in Jacksboro, Tennessee. Another sad story there. The crew of a luxury cruise ship used sonic weapons that blast ear-splitting noise in a directed beam while being attacked by a gang of pirates off Africa this weekend. Now, you may have heard the story about the pirates trying to take over this luxury cruise ship. They were unsuccessful. Well, now we're beginning to find out why. The Seabourn Spirit had a long-range acoustic device, or LRAD, installed as part of its defense systems. The Spirit was about 100 miles off Somalia when pirates fired rocket-propelled grenades and machine guns as they tried to get aboard. The subsidiary of Carnival Corporation was investigating whether the weapon was successful in warding off the pirates. The ship's captain also changed its course, shifted into high speed, and headed out into open sea to elude the pirates, who were in two small boats. The device maker, American Technology Corporation, said ear-splitting bangs were directed by trained security personnel toward the pirates. That, combined with ship maneuvers, caused the attackers to leave the area. The LRAD is a so-called non-lethal weapon developed for the U.S. military after the 2000 attack on the USS Cole off Yemen as a way to keep operators of small boats from approaching U.S. warships. Interesting technology. Talking about technology, the United States government has unveiled now a non-lethal laser rifle designed to dazzle enemy personnel without causing them permanent harm. Now, I find this to be a strange story. Why would you not want to cause permanent harm to the enemy? The device will require close scrutiny to ensure compliance with the United Nations protocol on what is called blinding laser weapons. The Personnel Halting and Stimulation Response Rifle was developed at the Air Force Research Laboratory in New Mexico. Two prototypes have been delivered to military bases in Texas and Virginia for further testing. The Department of Defense believes the weapon could be used, for example, to temporarily blind suspects who drive through a roadblock. However, the DOD has yet to reveal details of how the laser works and has yet to respond to New Scientist magazine's requests for further information. Laser weapons capable of blinding enemies have been developed in the past, but were banned under a 1995 UN convention called the Protocol on Blinding Laser Weapons. I still find this to be a strange story that you want to just not cause permanent harm to the enemy. I hope this is never used at home. The 35-year-old man has died of bird flu in Vietnam, becoming the country's 42nd victim of this disease. The man from Hanoi died in a hospital last month after testing positive for H5N1 strain of the virus. He became ill, they say, after eating chicken with his relatives, who are fine, according to health officials. It is Vietnam's first bird flu death. In 3 months, the virus has killed more than 63 people in Southeast Asia since its resurgence in the late 2003. In coming days, Kentucky Fried Chicken will have television commercials ready to go to reassure customers that its chicken is safe to eat in the event of a bird flu outbreak. The chicken chain hopes the spots never have to air, but it's taking no chances in the face of a potential threat to business. Europe has just launched a probe to Venus, the first mission to our nearest planetary neighbor in a decade. Venus Express launched on a Russian Soyuz rocket several hours ago. The robotic craft will orbit the planet, and now it is zooming on toward Venus, where just minutes ago it set off its engines. Scientists hope the mission will shed further light on the mechanisms of climate change on our own world. Venus is almost identical in size to Earth, and is thought to have a similar composition, but there the resemblance ends. A dense, largely carbon dioxide atmosphere acts as a blanket, trapping incoming solar radiation to heat the planet's surface to an average temperature of, get this, 872 degrees Fahrenheit. Surface pressure is 90 times that on Earth. Several Soviet probes sent to land on Venus in the 60s were crushed before they had a chance to touch down. And an Argentinian woman has been living in a nest for a year. I kid you not. She's from Mendoza, built her nest using branches and cushions in a tree near a train station. She told a newspaper there that she followed the instructions of a book which explains how to build a good nest. She thought it was a fantastic idea. She says, "I'm not homeless. I have a home. I can live in it anytime I want. I just choose to live in a tree." Here are the numbers for open lines. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is ready, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, let's click into high gear and go to the phones right here on Coast to Coast. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing, George? My name is Derek in Fort Lauderdale.
Hey, Derek. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you, man. I drive gas tankers down here, and all my guys at my company listen to you every night. Oh, so I appreciate it.
Boy, you've got a dangerous job, my man, don't you?
Yeah, I guess it can be.
Just be careful, that's all.
Thank you, thank you. Anyways, I have a friend that he also listens to you, and he told me that not too long ago you had on a show about the Coral Castle down here in Miami.
Yes, made by a fellow by the name of the late Edward Leeds Skolnin. He built that place.
Well, I'm totally interested in it, and I wanted to know if you knew what part of Miami it was in and how to get information on it, or where it is and how much
it's down near Homestead. And years ago, he was an immigrant, came from Eastern Europe. He was in love with a young lady, and she dumped him. He was very depressed. He wanted to build this facility in her remembrance. And the problem is the blocks are as big as some of the stones that built the pyramids, and he did it all by himself, and nobody knows how.
Wow.
It's an incredible story. I mean, the guy was about 5 feet tall, and a couple kids came upon him one night, and he was moving these things with levitation. He was just kind of like moving them around with his hands over it. He had a very strange device with some kind of a cone on the top of it, which he then used to position the blocks into place. I think he understood the principle of magnetics and realized that every object, any object, has some kind of magnetism to it. It doesn't have to be metal. And he was able to figure that out. And I think he was able to repel an object. You know how you put, like, if you put a north and a north together, two positives, they kind of repel?
Yes.
I think he was able to do that with these stones somehow and was able to just float them into position.
Wow, that's amazing. Can people go see that?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Absolutely. You can go down there. It's open to the public. You can sit in some of the chairs that he built out of stone. It's remarkable. We did a show down there with Richard Hoagland, who's going to be our guest in a few minutes, and he was just fascinated by the things that went on down there. It's a great story. You really need to go down there.
I definitely will, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
A lot.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Let's move on now to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Joe from Los Angeles.
Hey, Joe, right around the corner.
Yeah. I got this little story the other day. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was listening to your radio station, and I get this phone call, and I pick it up, and all of a sudden this digital operator goes, "Will you accept a text message from overseas? It's a Sprint operator." And I'm thinking, all right, I'll check it out. So I push one to listen to what it is,
sure.
And this electronic voice comes on and goes, 69 days. And, you know, because I was listening to the predictions of Dr. Turian,
right.
Like, it was just bizarre that that kind of message.
That is
came
weird.
Through.
Now, what if this was a real message, by the way, by this company? What are they trying to sell?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if they were selling anything. It was a Sprint operator, and it asked me if I would like to take, you know, the
That's
message.
That's weird.
And so I added up the days. It comes out to the December 13th.
Okay. We're going to circle that on the old calendar.
Okay. But one other thing I want to say, you remember when you did the balloon, mass meditation?
Yes.
That was awesome.
I enjoyed
that so much. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to our wild card lines. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, George. This is Terry from San Antonio listening on WOAR.
Sure thing. Hi, Terry.
Hey, George, first of all, I really enjoy whenever you have Stephen Quayle on your program. He's a great guest.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. He did a good job really for us last night.
Hey, and before I get to my what I wanted to say, bravo to the Kansas State Education Board for the decision on the intelligent design issue.
Well, stand by for the program because that's coming up.
I will. And I'm sure it'll probably be challenged in the courts, but I just wish that the federal courts would not use the power of lawful coercion to make decisions on what's going to be taught in schools.
Well,
and not
I think you need to give kids an alternative, and you need to give them the balance, and that's so important. And at least in Kansas, they'll have an opportunity for that.
Yeah, you know, and me personally, I would prefer that the evolutionary model not be taught. However, I don't want the government to force that issue, which unfortunately the other side would like to use. They'd like to use this misrepresentation of the First Amendment to force, you know, any talk of intelligent design or creation out of the schoolroom.
That's true.
That's my point. Anyway, by the way, the guest that you had, about a month ago, I think his name was R. Edwin Sherman, and he talked about the Bible codes. Did you find that fascinating or interesting?
I always do.
You always do.
I was down. He was pretty technical.
Yeah, he was. His book, by the way, was an excellent book. Now, as a guest, well, I mean, I'm just going to be kind and say, you know, he's a little bit technical. The guy, there's a guy by the name of, I don't know if you've heard of him, Grant Jeffrey. He's a Canadian.
No, researcher. I have not.
His name is Grant Jeffrey, and he's been on that issue from the ground floor, and you know, he's authored many books on the subject.
All right.
He would be a great guest.
We'll check into
now,
him.
Now, I don't know how to get a hold of him personally.
Well, we can find him. We can find them all. Thanks. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. Stay in. The After Dark double CD is available to you, but only through the holidays and then no more. It would make a great gift or stocking stuffer. Get the After Dark double CD, which includes bumper music, phone calls to the show, some classics, and then some ghost stories read by moi by going to afterdarkcd.com or call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. Well, in less than 30 minutes, our intelligent design program begins. But right now, it's open line, so let's go back to the phones east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
This is Mike from Roseville, Michigan.
Hi, Mike. Sure thing.
George, how many of those genetic researchers were killed in the last few years?
The microbiologists?
Microbiologists.
I think we're up to about 78 now.
Oh, gosh, I thought it was only 56.
No, up to 78. Now, some of them died naturally.
Right, I understand
that. Okay.
Have any of the people that investigate these things, I'm wondering if there is a connection between their deaths and the avian flu.
Good question. Lots of people are beginning to think it's either that or something very close to it.
Because I'm thinking, you know, like you were talking how you mentioned several times how the Illuminati want to do away with so much of the population.
Yep.
And so they had these researchers working in a compartmentalized fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, FBI, CIA, who knows, found out about it and put an end to that plan.
I don't think it's them. I don't think it's the FBI or the CIA doing it.
Well, I mean, they killed them to save us.
Oh.
These researchers were doing the job, the work for the Illuminati.
Well, reverse this for a moment. I think these researchers, by and large, have been pretty good people. I think...
Well, they could be working without knowing what they were working.
Well, that's true, but think of this. What if they're the types who can come up with the cure for any of these diseases? So,
yeah,
so you get rid of them first. That's what I think's going
well,
on.
Well, that's why you got to get your friends that you interview to work on this.
Oh, they are. Believe me, they're working on it 24/7.
Great. Love your show, George.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you being on the show. International Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello there, George.
Hello.
This is Harry calling from New Zealand. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the cave there in Missouri.
Oh, which one?
The one you broadcast from.
How did you find out where it is?
Well, I heard about the plans on the internet, how to get there. A friend of mine from America there, he gave me a ride over there. But there was nobody there.
Well, that's because it should... I don't know if you were at the right cave here.
Well, it said Premier Studios. I thought maybe it might be yours.
Oh, no. There's no signage up there.
Really? Actually, George, I'm a kid from Texas. I've called your show 167 times.
What a great accent.
Under about 53 different accents and personalities. I just wanted to call you for the last time. I'm shipping out of the service. And I won't be able to call you for a while, but it's been fun. I've called Art, too. I think 23, my count is up to 23 with Art.
When are you shipping out?
Next week.
All right, you be safe. You call us when you get back.
All right, man.
All right, you take care. One of our fighting men. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. You did have a good accent. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi there. This is George in Portland, Oregon, listening to you on KX1190.
You sure are the monster out there.
That's right. You know, Art, George, I came to the conclusion that... evolution doesn't make any sense, and I did it in an interesting way. I asked myself the age-old question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And I postulated that an evolutionist would say that the egg came first because they hold that life moves from the simple to the complex.
Yeah, that's right.
But the complete opposite is true. Life moves from the complex to the simple. We know that the chicken came first for two reasons. Number one, the chicken is necessary to produce the egg. And number two, the chicken has to sit on the egg in order for the egg to hatch. If the egg had come first, they wouldn't have had the chicken for it to sit on and hatch.
What if the chicken and the egg both came at the same time? Parallel dimensions.
You know, I don't think so. Because if you look at human reproduction, you see that the same thing is true. For example, life begins with a simple sperm and egg, scientists would have you believe, but it really doesn't. It begins with the two complex humans which are necessary to bring them forth. If a sperm and an egg had been created out of the primordial ooze and somehow would have come together, it would have lacked the necessary complexity for it to evolve by itself into a human, i.e. it wouldn't have had the woman's womb for it to grow in.
Well, I'll tell you, this is going to be a fascinating program. I'm looking forward to it. When we open up the phone lines later on in the program, you might want to try to squeeze yourself in. We will not exempt you from the call because you bring up some interesting points. Let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi, George. This is Zachariah.
Hi, Zachariah.
Daniel from the Four Corners area, and I enjoy your broadcast, first-time caller here, and enjoyed your interview with Steve Quayle, and he brings a lot to the table.
Oh, he sure does. Very, very strong regular on the program.
Yeah, in fact, we used to be colleagues on realityradionetwork.com. We're on firstamentradio.com.
Really? Okay, good.
So he's just great insight.
You know what
man.
He's like, okay.
Yeah, James McCanny as well, same network.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Jones, of course, is a great guest you always have, too. I wanted to touch on what you and Steve were bringing up the other day a little bit. In fact, it kind of touched on what your last caller brought up about the sperm and the egg. And when they talked about the Messiah, the world's been calling him Jesus for only about the last 500 years or so, since the letter J doesn't exist in Hebrew or in Greek, and the letter J is only 500 years old again, and it's the last letter added to the English alphabet. His Hebrew true name is Yahweh, the Messiah. Shua was just his title, but he was not a DNA reproduction of Mary whatsoever. She was just the first surrogate mother. She was an incubator, if you will. He was only begotten the flesh and blood, but they call the Son, in Hebrew it's Elohim, the world's been saying God, but then again, that's another misnomer as well. But what my point is that they talk about the Da Vinci Code, and I know you touched mm-hmm. on that with Steve. The Messiah never had any genetics or 23 chromosomes from Mary. The seed of the woman in Genesis 3 represents she would carry the promised seed, because she could only produce ovum or egg. The man...
Well, now, let me ask you, if they did a DNA test then on him, you're saying that there would be nothing there, wouldn't show up?
Well...
Fascinating.
From a human standpoint, the word human goes from a Latin word, humanus. It's a 14th century word, which means heaped-up dirt man, and he was not from the earth. He said it himself in John 8:23-24. He said, "You are from beneath." In other words, I'm the potter, you're the clay.
Right.
He was saying, I am from above, you are of this world. And in other words, I don't forget it, I made you from...
So you're saying, though, he would have no DNA code at all, no genetic makeup.
Well, Mary was from the dust, like we're made from the dirt as well, so we can't say he was from the dust. It would be sacrilegious. He said he was, and no, I don't believe he had any DNA code makeup of humanity. The seed or the genetic line of Matthew 1 and Luke 3, when it talks about the genetics or the begotten begots and so forth, is it's custodial lineage, not a biological lineage of the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
because no human sacrifice was ever condoned in the First Covenant or the Tanakh. He wasn't going to contradict his own law and be a human sacrifice when he said, I'm not a man that I should lie to you, or an earth man. I'm from heaven, or I made the heavens. I'm higher than the heavens. He's from eternity. He just came in the flesh, and it wasn't a second person in some fictitious trinity. It was the Almighty Messiah, man, coming in the flesh as the Son. Just like you're a father, you're a son, but your name is one, your person is one. The Almighty made us in His image, and there's not two of you or three of you or two or three of me. So there was just the Father coming in the flesh as the Son.
Well, I've got to tell you, you folks know your spirituality. I'll tell you what. You, too, need to wait in line for the Intelligent Design Program, and when we open up the calls, hit them with some of these things, and we'll see what some of these experts do. I want you to make them squirm a little bit. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi there, George. This is Charlotte from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hello, Charlotte.
And I heard the fella earlier that was asking about the Coral Castle, and that perked my interest because 2 summers ago I went down there to see it myself when I went to Florida. And what actually got me down there is I had a dream where someone told me in the dream, come visit us down at Homestead. So I wrote to Homestead to find out what's down there that I could visit, and I got this information on the Coral Castle. And I just wanted to mention, if the fellow's still listening, I have the address here of the location there in Homestead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sure he's listening.
At 28655 South Dixie Highway in Homestead, Florida.
What did you think of Coral Castle when you went down?
Oh, it was fascinating. I especially liked that sundial that he had, and I noticed he was trying to make some of the planets, although he didn't.
Did you try to figure out how he moved those stones?
Well, I saw a sample of one of the pulleys that he had, and also at the gift shop that they have there, they have these little pamphlets you can buy. And one of them is on magnetic current, and it has a picture on the back of this pulley system that he used with the magnets. I mean, some of it I don't understand because I don't have the scientific background on the magnets and all, but this little pamphlet and all that I bought in the gift store is interesting.
Yeah, well, he once said that he knew the secrets of the pyramids, so I think the technology, whatever it was probably pretty much the same. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
My name is Ed. I'm from West Orange, New Jersey, the home of Thomas Edison, by the way.
Yes, indeed. And a new governor, too.
There you go. I've been in law enforcement for 23 years now.
All right.
Now, I want to talk about the alleged pirate attack on this cruise line.
On this cruise line. Okay.
Now, I compare it to an auto accident. Tractor trailer hits a Volkswagen. Tractor trailer cancels Volkswagen. Don't you think it was kind of a terrorist attack? They wanted to hurt?
Yeah, I think so, too. Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Come on. It wasn't a robbery.
It was like the coal thing. Same thing. I don't know what they wanted to do once they got there. Maybe hold them all hostage. I think there was 312 people aboard. But absolutely, I think it was an Al-Qaeda-type attack.
It was ridiculous. I mean, it's not a theft. That's all.
Yep, you're right. You're right. You're a good cop, that's for sure. Wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi, you're driving somewhere.
Yeah, I'm in the mountains of Sardine Canyon in Logan, Utah.
Does it snow much up there in those mountains?
Oh, my goodness, it's a snowy, snowy country. We haven't got much now, but when it does, it comes down.
It's going to come down. How can you drive? I assume you're in a tractor trailer?
I am not. I'm in the little four-wheeler.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, it's pretty slippery, but you got to just be careful.
I mean, is it dangerous? Can you go over the side?
No, it's pretty much got concrete barriers all the way down the Sardine Canyon.
All right, that's good. All right.
It's pretty good. But hey, John from Logan, Utah. I wanted to call to let you know that you got my vote for president of the United States. Remember, we were trying to get you and Richard into the NASA.
People are trying to push me. Well, I'm definitely not running in 2008. I'm doing this program.
I'm hoping that you will. But hey, I'm standing by a service station right now where diesel fuel is down below $3 now, and fuel is at $2.17. But the main reason I called is because Dr. Turi, that guy scares me. How is he so able to be so accurate in all his
predictions? Are just absolutely uncanny, and he tells me they come to him, he just sits back in his house and relaxes, floats in his pool, and it comes to him. He comes up with this. Now, he does not want to tell us exactly what's going to happen the end of November, but he said it's going to be huge.
29th or 20th,
right? And you know, I always give him two or more days plus or minus.
Okay, you do have a plus or minus then, because I was worried about today, the day at 8th, and I was worried about explosions and what have you, but I guess you could put the riots in France.
And the tornado in the Midwest and Indiana and in Kentucky, yep.
So you're going to add that to his list then?
To his hit, yep, he's still accurate as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, George.
All right, thanks.
I'm a first-time caller, but I just have the number to get to the wild card line, and I love your program.
All right, now
you do have my vote for president.
All right, and put those two hands on the wheel now that you're driving through that that mountainside.
I have one of those earpieces.
Excellent. Okay, take care. Bye. Almost got hit again today. Somebody, she was on her car, obviously in her car on her cell phone. She's holding it to her head. She's not paying any attention to where she's driving. I say she because it was a she, and she almost just sideswiped me, and I mean, just totally oblivious to everything. Those things are dangerous sometimes. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing? My name is Rick. I'm calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Good, Rick. Thank you.
I love your show.
Good. Thank you. Again.
I wanted to ask your opinion on something. The main thing with the problem today as far as economically goes is people are living longer and population control. Would it be possible, this is my feeling, I think that the bird flu is a lie. I think the easiest way to get people to line up for a vaccine is to start something like that, like there might be an epidemic, so everyone wants to get vaccinated against it. Could it be possible that the government wants you to give vaccines so they could have something in there that could possibly, like, is it possible to put a germ in your body or a disease that could be timed not to kill you until you're in your 50s?
Oh, absolutely. They have that kind of technology. Are they doing it? My guess is probably not.
Right.
The other, I think the real motives, and I agree with you, and if you've listened to this program, you know we don't believe there's going to be a avian flu pandemic here. I believe that this is money-oriented. I think the big pharmaceutical companies that are involved in manufacturing vaccines that shouldn't be existing yet because they don't have the disease, but yet they're coming up with things. This is strange all by itself. I think it's all money-oriented. This is a $7 billion fiasco, and I'm not alone in this. There are a number of other experts way, way out there that are jumping on this bandwagon saying not to worry. The other problem, though, and here's the way that I'm looking at this.
Okay.
I'm at a point now where I really believe that there's a force out there that wants to do a lot of us in. And I wouldn't put it past those people, whoever they may be. You know, people come back to me and say, who are they? I don't know who they are. They're just people out there who love to control things. I wouldn't put it past them to concoct one of these diseases in a laboratory and then spread it out there.
Right, because in Delaware, where I'm from, they really pushed saying that the flu last year was going to be at the all-time high.
And it was not.
And it was not there, and they didn't want to take the extra vaccines from Canada. So I feel that they know the group of people when they replenish the vaccine, they know the group of people. Say that the vaccine was replenished in December. They know the group of people from December on that were vaccinated. Therefore, they can study that group of people and see what the percentage is that if they do inject them with something, how it's working. And I also feel that if these people are doing that, they can actually change the life expectancy of people. Like instead of it being 72, it can drop down to 60. Therefore, there goes your Social Security problem solved, too.
Good point.
To say. Thanks for letting me talk.
Okay, my friend. You're learning. You're learning. Don't take anything at face value. Hey, continue with the emails and send me those little notes. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. Fast Blast is up for those of you who don't know what that is. If you go to the coasttocoastam.com website, on the left-hand side, you'll see eyes of Sigmund Freud. They are not my eyes. Someone once emailed me and said, you have evil eyes, George. They're not mine. Sigmund Freud's eyes. Right there, that's how you register for Fast Blasting. You can send us messages when we are on the air. They're instant. We see them. They pop right up. As a matter of fact, sometimes during the questioning of guests, I'll go right to Fast Blasts, and we'll use some of your questions as well, giving you an opportunity to become part of this interactive program, which is called Coast to Coast AM. It's intelligent design with three special guests, Richard C. Hoagland, Stan Tenen, and Michael Heiser, up next with a roundtable discussion on Coast to Coast AM.